Do you believe in astrology and that your zodiac symbol means something?
Well, I mean, I believe in energy and that things kind of come together or have a way of doing it. Kismet, whatever you call that, fate.
Okay. They have this new article out. And okay. It's every zodiac sign gets bored in a relationship for a different reason.
You're talking about like your marriage or your friendship or just your partner, I'm guessing.
Your marriage. Well, your partner, your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever.
Okay.
What is your sign?
I'm Capricorn. You can't tell?
Capricorn. You know what the funny part is? It's like I know my own sign. I know my husband's sign, a little bit about my kids, and that's it. Like,
you don't know the personality traits of any of the others?
No.
Okay.
There's like a million of them. Okay, Capricorn. Capricorns take great pride in their ambition. They're driven to succeed and are very passionate about hard work. But they need a partner who's supportive in their endeavors. They also need them to have dreams and passion projects of their own. Lack of ambition and clinginess are two traits that can make Capricorn lose respect for their partner.
Mm.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, I think that there's some truth rooted in that. Absolutely. I'll tell you what, I never dated the girl very long that I'd be like, what do you want for dinner? What would you like to do today? And their answer was always, whatever you like.
Yeah.
Whatever you want. I can't do that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife is somebody who supports what I do very much so. But on the other hand, when she wants to do something, she digs right in and there's no bending her.
So you think that if she wasn't really supportive of your career, it would be a problem and you would get bored?
I think that if she didn't make me insane, I'd be distracted. Yes.
Yeah. Let me look at mine. So I'm a Leo Virgo cusp. So that means I kind of fall in between the signs.
Mm.
But according to this particular, magic eight ball, I'm a Virgo.
Okay.
This doesn't seem right, Raven.
What?
I have a reputation for being very critical. But it all comes from a true belief that people should strive to be the best version of themselves. Why are you laughing?
You're not reading that right now. Are you serious? You wrote that in your email or you're reading that off this article?
I'm reading it off the article.
That's
I'm not critical.
That's uncannily accurate. Oh my gosh.
While Virgo doesn't expect their partner to be perfect, they do need them to see them trying. What? Why are you laughing?
Well, you are a cusp. But what? You're more the first than the second.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, what's so bad with wanting to people to work their hardest and be the best that they can possibly be and not accepting anything less?
Well, if I've lost my ambition because it's worn off.
All right, we're going to put this article up on our Facebook page. Search Anna and Raven and you can see what traits in a relationship so you'll know if you're doomed or not.
It's like looking in a mirror. This is strange.
You are nuts. All right, look on our Facebook page if you want to see for yourself. Search Anna and Raven. If your two-year-old is anything like mine, they love to throw tantrums. Like, there is a reason why they call it the terrible twos.
I mean, it doesn't just reserve itself for small kids either. You can see it sometimes boiling up in people when something's about to go bad.
Yeah. Dr. Joe Shippa is a child psychologist. Dr. Joe, you know, I feel like, in general, I'm a laid-back mom. But it's like you get on the brink of losing your mind when your child is throwing themselves on the floor and screaming, and you don't have any idea why.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point of it, is that they try us. And, you know, if you've got a toddler, you've got a two-year-old, that's pretty developmentally appropriate, because at that age, you know, kids are struggling with emotions that they can't regulate. So they're overwhelmed by things, and especially they become angry and frustrated, because typically with kids at that age, you're asking them to do something or they want something, they're determining is sort of not justified, you know?
That's true.
They deserve something else and they don't want to give you this. So you have to think of the tantrum as a reaction to like a situation that your child cannot handle in a more mature way. If she were, you know, 30, you'd hope that she would say, oh, please, you know, I don't prefer to do that, Mom. But she's two. She's not going to do that.
Well, fingers crossed, she's still not doing it at 30.
I've seen that.
That would be a totally different problem.
Yeah. So what techniques can you use? Because I see the parents that do the counting thing when they're like, I'm going to count to three. One.
Right.
Two.
Right.
Two and a half.
Two and three quarters.
Right. Right. And I can't imagine that works. And then I see the parents that are, which I try, it's timeout chair. You want to go in the timeout chair? And then she just throws herself in the timeout chair and then she gets distracted. And I don't even know what's happening. What actually works in these situations?
Well, the first thing you have to remember is that you don't want to reinforce the tantruming. If you give into it, then the child learns that it works. becomes a learned response, and you're intermittently reinforcing it, because you might not give in every single time, but you will give in, you know, every other time, and they get it. I mean, kids are good, and it's sort of a conditioned response. So the goal is to unlearn this behavior. So you have to teach them and model ways to solve the problem. You teach them what compromising is all about and complying with expectations in order to receive, hopefully, some type of a reward at the end of it, even if it's just a positive kind of feeling from it. You have to understand the triggers and plan for them. But it's really about teaching them the skills of problem solving and compromise. It's not about, I mean, you could use those other techniques of, you know, go to the timeout chair, but quite frankly, if they're going to the timeout chair, and I've seen this all too often, kids go to the timeout chair and they're throwing a fit in the timeout chair. Mm-hmm. They haven't stopped their tantruming. And the problem is that you can't attend to it. Like, you can't pay attention to them. If they're in the timeout chair, they're still going to be driving you crazy. Often they will escalate that tantruming behavior. They'll scream louder, and you'll say something to them. You know, like, all right, you keep doing that, and you're going to stay there longer. Well, that's reinforcing the tantruming. You literally have to ignore it completely, and often that will help to make it go away.
See that? The best parenting, Anna, is just close my eyes and ears and act like it's not going on.
Just go right to bed.
That's
just
right.
Ignore the whole thing.
Walk away.
Yeah. Dr. Joe Shippa, always fantastic advice. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Be well.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You could always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, check in the text line this morning. If you take your retainer out of your mouth and rinse it in my kitchen sink and then dry it on my dish towel and pop it back into your mouth, that's all I need to know about you.
That is cruel.
My cousin's husband did that at my house. He didn't realize I had seen him. So gross. Who does that? Ugh.
Burn the towel.
Ugh.
If you scan the internet for the ending of a show that you're binge watching, or episode like recaps or summaries, whatever it may be, because you just can't make it another 6 hours through the program, that's all I need to know about you. My wife and I are going back right now. We've never watched Breaking Bad. So mm-hmm. We are watching Breaking Bad, and I'm telling you that we are relentlessly watching it, because at this point now I need to see the movie that came after, and we've got all these other shows that are piling up in the DVR that we haven't been getting to at this point. So like, I'm anxious. Like, I want to get ahead to it. And then I'm always mad at myself after when I actually see the recap and I'm like, oh, well, I wouldn't have guessed that was going to happen.
I do this all the time.
Do you?
Because if I watch a show, if I'm watching like a series and I'm somewhat into it, but I'm not really into it.
You want to know whether or not it's going to have the ending that you actually envision?
It's like Firefly Lane. That's the one on Netflix.
Yeah,
with,
my wife watched that too.
Oh my gosh. Why am I drawing a blank on her name?
Catherine Heigl.
Catherine Heigl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I watched the first like 5-6 episodes.
You liked it early on.
I liked it, but it's based on a book. So I went to go see what happened in the book, in the second novel, the series on it. And when I saw, I go, I'm out. Because I didn't want to deal with it. I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't watched it.
You don't need the pain ahead.
I don't need the pain of what's going to come. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you're one of those people when you send a friend a picture and they have to zoom in to try to find an imperfection.
Don't post that. I look fat. Don't post that. My teeth look yellow. Don't post that. You can see my zits. Oh my gosh, is that a wrinkle? Don't post that.
Yeah, and they have to zoom in to try to find wrinkles or something bad about you.
Yeah, it's very freeing. You should do what I do, which is just don't care about other people's feelings. That's what I do. Because I just, you know, that's it.
Anna and Raven, that's all I need to know about you.
Hey, Anna. Hey, Raven. If you could drive in the passing lane at the speed limit while there's dozens of cars just stacked up behind you like there's no care in the world, that's all I need to know about you.
It does take
it kills me.
Yeah, it takes a special kind of fortitude to act like you're not you know, witnessing everybody behind you, but you either are the person that takes enjoyment out of the fact that you're holding people up, or you're the person that's completely incompetent at driving that doesn't realize that there's people behind you.
You want to know why I resent that person?
Mm.
Because they make me look like the psycho when I have to fly into the other lane doing 100 miles per hour to go around them. Now I'm the bad guy.
That's
now
right.
I'm crazy.
That's right. And that's the part they enjoy. They revel in that.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. You can always call or text too. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. It'll be a friendly competition. How about that, Raven? How do you feel about that?
Because all of our competitions are at its root, at their heart, the most friendly.
Sunday are the Oscars. Now, every year, Raven and I try to get the biggest Oscar winners to come on the show. The biggest nominees, the people that have won the most, Meryl Streep, Leonardo DiCaprio.
My buddy James Cameron.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's ready for a phone call at any time.
And every single year, we don't get anybody that's a huge A-lister to ever come on the show when it's Oscar time.
I mean, I think we've had a reporter 3 times.
Well, right. They're available. So this year, we are hell-bent on getting an Oscar winner to come on the show. So each of us is going to try to individually book an Oscar winner and have them come on the show. But it could be any Oscar winner. So it could be something random like sound design or even one of those categories where they don't even televise the winners. It could be anybody that has an Oscar in their possession.
I mean, it's surprising, but Julia Roberts just won't get back to me when I slid into her DMs.
And I can't imagine why. So producer Sean and producer John are here. And we're going to form teams and we're going to be competing against each other. Not who could get the biggest name, who can get the most interesting interview.
Do I get the smart one?
Well, do we flip a coin or do you just want to pick who you want? And who do you think is the smart one out of producer John and producer Sean?
I'm not going to say until teams are assigned.
I was more interested to hear Raven's who he thinks is smarter.
Who do you think is smarter, Sean or John?
I guess we'll just flip that coin.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen. All right, where's the coin? All right, John.
Got the coin.
Okay, if you're heads, you're on my team. And if you're tails...
You can't figure out if it's the opposite.
I can't remember how it works. All right. John, you're flipping it. If it's heads, you're with me. If it's tails, you're with Raven.
All right. Oh, Annie does a flip.
It is heads.
Okay, so you are with me, John.
Yeah, I got the smart one.
You were going to say that.
It didn't matter. Whoever was going to do it, you were going to say was the smart one.
I hedge my bets. I'm no dummy.
All right, so guys, we are on full force. We have until Friday to secure these interviews. They have to air on Friday at this time on the air, okay?
Okay.
You got it.
And if you know an Oscar winner, can you please email me directly at anna@annaandraven.com?
Or you can email me. That would be great, too.
No, you can start with me. Top 3 ways that people hurt themselves. Number 3, Raven, water injuries, pools, slips in the tubs, that kind of thing.
Yeah, slips in the tubs, that's dangerous.
Yep. Number 2, poisoning. Now, that can mean food poisoning, your kids ingesting chemicals around the house they're not supposed to touch, or even if you have like an allergic reaction to lotion or makeup, that's all considered poisoning.
Terrifying it can be.
And the number 1 way people hurt themselves, tripping or falling.
Wow.
And most of that happens at your own home.
I would have thought there would have been knives in the kitchen in there, but yeah, that could be bad too, obviously.
But sometimes when you get hurt, it's the dumbest way possible.
Usually, right? I mean, you see it coming and you think to yourself, that's not going to happen to me, but you do it anyways.
Yeah, you can call or text 1-800-330-9999. It's the strangest way you hurt yourself. I went on a hike with my kids and my husband this past weekend, and Dakota, my toddler, weighs about 32 pounds right now. And my husband said to me, I'm going to end up carrying her the whole 2 miles.
Sure.
And I said, no, I could carry her too. I'm not weak. I lift weights. I can carry her. Right?
Yeah. I'm Diesel. I'll handle this.
So I had to prove to him that I was strong enough that I could carry her. When she walked about a solid 50 feet. And then she was like, carry me, mommy. And I picked her up and it was hard. I put her on my shoulders. I'm switching sides. I woke up this morning. I have a pulled muscle in my left shoulder blade. Mm-hmm. I am a mess.
Yeah, I'm wondering that, you know, I'm thinking that what made this equally or even more stupid was that it all probably came up because you suggested the walk and then your husband was like, why are we going to do that?
Right, now I got to carry her.
I'm going to have to carry her. And you were like, no, that's not going to. And then it exactly happened.
And I can't
way.
Even complain that it hurts because he'll be like, I told you so.
Right.
What's the dumbest way you ever hurt yourself?
I remember that I flipped over a 10-speed that I had no business riding. It was just a bike that was far too large for me at the time when I was younger, and I slid about 30 yards on my face on the asphalt, right over the speed bump in front of my house. And the thing was, it was like May or June. I spent that entire summer with my face slathered in aloe and vitamin E.
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, it was gross, man.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Ian on Raven. Strangest way you hurt yourself.
So I was cleaning out a cooler after the summer, and I took some beer bottles out. And when I went to go throw them out, they had still had beer in them, and they clanked together and exploded. And I severed my wrist and an artery and a nerve and all that stuff, and I still can't feel my thumb.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I mean, that's like a real cut. That's a deep
crazy.
Cut.
I almost bled out, and my friend was there and tourniqueted my arm and stopped the bleeding until I got to the hospital. It was really crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
That is terrible.
Yes.
That's why you can't do anything with coolers. Right.
Anna has a beer bottle injury herself, too. She has a scar like a lightning bolt because they went slip and sliding at college.
Mm-hmm.
And when she stood up after reaching the bottom of the hill after going down all those hefty bags, she had a Budweiser bottle hanging out of her leg.
Yeah, it was a Budweiser. It was like a dagger.
Oh,
yeah, we didn't look where we put the slip and slide, and we put it right into a bush full of broken beer bottles outside the townhouses where all the fraternities and sororities lived. I pulled that bottle right out of my thigh, and they immediately took me to the emergency room. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I have feeling in my thigh now.
Right.
So I feel bad for your thumb.
Oh, jeez.
Emmett wrote on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, "My wife dislocated her finger on a water slide at our daughter's birthday party. The slide should have come with a warning for kids only." And then he posted a picture of her busted finger and the water slide.
Oh, that is gross. I pulled a hamstring one time trying to get things out of my garage in the wintertime because I had so much stuff stacked up on the floor.
Yeah.
You literally had to be like a monkey to climb over the different things to get to it. And of course, that's when my wife says, "Oh, you know, I forgot this one thing on the upper side of the garage. Can you get it out? We're going to need it for the Christmas decorations."
And you pulled it.
Oh, I wasn't right for like a month.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the strangest way you hurt yourself?
I used to skateboard when I was a kid.
Nice.
And we would do this thing where you stomp really hard on the end of the skateboard and it like kicks it up.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is to like give it enough force so you can catch it with your hand. One time I gave it a little too much force, kicked it up directly into my mouth.
Yep.
Right in the mouth, lost two teeth. Oh. And that's when my mom made me quit.
Oh.
But could you ollie? Because, you know, if you could ollie, change direction and whatnot, you were good.
I was right on the cusp of it. Huh? I was still trying to get the kick up into the hand.
Right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was the strange injury that you got?
Dropping off a package to the neighbor, I fell and twisted my ankle.
Did it happen, like, right in front of their house?
Yeah. I went up the steps. I gave them a package that was delivered to us by accident.
Yeah.
And when I went to step down, the step gave out, and I rolled my ankle and hurt my knee.
Oh, that sounds like a lawsuit.
Oh, you immediately your mind would go there. Did you sue?
I'm not suing. The baby is okay, so I didn't fall on him, so everything's all right.
Oh my god!
Wait, you had a baby with you?
I'm 8 months pregnant.
Oh my god!
No, see, that's all I'm saying.
Listen, I had a similar incident here at work. Remember, Raven?
Uh huh.
I was 8.5 months pregnant. It was actually the week before I was set to give birth. I was scheduled for my C-section, and it was dark outside. They had no lights. I fell right on my face outside the door, tripped on the curb. It was awful.
Right, right.
It is scary when you're pregnant and you fall.
You know, here's the thing. If you weren't pregnant, they'd be watching that on repeat over and over and over again on their Ring
social
camera.
Media.
Over and over and over again. But now they actually genuinely feel bad, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, fix that step, though, neighbor.
Yeah, I scared my sister's kids because I was getting them off the bus, and that's when I walked over to give the package.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Well, we're glad you're okay, and we're glad the baby's okay.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great morning.
And on Raven, strangest way you hurt yourself.
So I was playing wiffle ball with my cousins on Easter, and I was trying to make a catch, and I ran into this bird bath, caught the ball, but walked away with big bruise.
Oh, man. And did you bust that bird bath? Because mom is going to be pissed.
Didn't bust it, but she was not thrilled that it was on the ground.
Right.
Yeah. And bird baths are like, they're
it's like sacred.
They're weapons. They're so heavy. They're like made of cement.
Right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. How did you injure yourself?
Well, when I was in the third grade, I was walking across my linoleum floor in my socks, and I slipped and fell and broke my wrist.
Oh. Busted the wrist, too. At a young age, like, you're flexible. Like, you would hope your body would bounce back from that. But linoleum is a killer.
And, of course, it was our ugly, you know, style ugly orange.
Yeah, miss. There's no good-looking linoleum.
No.
I mean, come on. Let's.
It's all from 1974.
Doesn't matter what decade it was.
Yeah.
There's no good-looking linoleum. That is an oxymoron in itself.
Pulled a muscle in my shoulder because I had to prove to my husband that I could carry my toddler 2 miles without complaining.
It's stupid, and you did it to yourself, but there you go.
What is the strangest way you've ever gotten injured? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Jan and Raven.
Well, I'm a mechanic by trade. Good morning. I was putting in the transmission, and, you know, the lift only go up about 6 feet high. I have Mike and Frank helping me holding the transmission, and the wires come in between the transmission. So everybody's, three of us trying to get it out. We couldn't get it out. I was like, okay, I got it, man. I got it. So I took a milk crate, stand on it, and just shoot up with all my weight. And boom, I hit my head on the frame of the car. I fell on the ground, now they start laughing.
Mike and Frank laughed at you? They didn't even say anything? They didn't even try to help you?
Right. You're concussed, and all they want is their car back.
No, they laughed. I had this headache for like five days in a row.
Man, you were injured. Like, that wasn't a headache. Like, you might have had a hematoma.
Right. Mike and Frank were like, that's hilarious.
Hannah and Raven, what's the strange way you injured yourself?
Well, when I was 16 years old, I was working in a deli, and I was making my own lunch, and I put an end of a roast beef on the deli slicer, and I sliced a piece of my thumb off.
I knew it was coming, but it still sounded terrible when you said it.
I worked in a grocery store when I was younger, and they offered me a deli position, which paid like nearly twice as much. And I said no. For like a year, they kept offering it. And I was like, dude, I'm never going to do it. I love my hands.
That machine looks so terrifying. When you turn it on, it's like a blade of death going around, just giving you delicious salami slices.
It's a hungry monster.
They sent my piece of my finger with me in a little container to see if they could put it back on.
Oh, they used the macaroni salad container.
Right.
Exactly.
Anna and Raven, how'd you get injured?
I was at the playground with my daughter, and we were jumping off the swings to see who could get further, and I broke my ankle, and I was in a cast for 8 weeks.
I mean, you can't do that anymore, right? Past a certain age, like, in your mind, you think you can do it, all right? But your body, like, no. Your bones are like, no.
It's so funny how all
the
things...
I was mortified.
I'm sure, because you think you could still do all the things you do as a kid.
Right.
Like, even, like, on the monkey bars, I've never been able to do the monkey bars. But remember when you would, like, jump off from the top to the bottom? Like,
oh, yeah.
It was nothing?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you look down, and it's not like you're on the top of a mountain.
Right.
Like, 4 feet off the ground.
I imagine you writhing around in pain on the ground and asking your 3-year-old to drag you back to the car.
Basically, I was so embarrassed. So I will watch her now, but I'm done.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was your strange injury?
So I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I was mowing my lawn one day barefoot.
Oh.
And let's just say that did not end well.
Oh man.
My gosh.
That sounds like stitches. Guaranteed.
Oh.
That's what it sounds like. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to get a rock across the foot.
Yeah, it ended on a little bit of a stretcher in the ER.
I have a friend that wears flip-flops, and I'm like, what are you, crazy?
Yeah.
When my husband goes out there, he's got like the work boots on.
That's
like
what
Timberlands, like with his shorts
I'm
cut
so
off.
Delicate.
Yeah.
I do. I've got gloves on, everything. Oh, it's ridiculous.
If you could pick one word to describe yourself, what would it be? Raven, they did a poll to find out what is the one word that people use to describe themselves, which I think is hard because if you only one word, right?
Sure. Well, I mean, if you're proud of yourself, right, you'd probably have dozens of those things.
Okay. Top three words. Number three, careful.
Okay.
Number two, thoughtful.
That's nice.
And the number one word people use to describe themselves, with 67% of people responding, is friendly.
Okay.
Huh.
I think they're lying, or at least a good percentage of them.
All right. Producer John and producer Sean are here. John, if you could use one word to describe yourself, and then we'll tell you if it's true or not.
Okay. For myself, I would say outgoing.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say that that's all right. You can have that one.
Right. That was actually one of my short list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, you can't take it back from him now. He can have that word, and you can also have that word, just so you know.
That's not how it works here. Only one of us could have the word, outgoing. What makes you outgoing?
I talk to people. I like to talk to people. I can talk to any kind of person.
I mean, you're a musician. You're a performer, only in music, but in radio. I would say that makes him pretty outgoing.
All right. Sean, what would be the one word that describes you?
That's easy. Weird.
Weird.
Yeah, dude. Yes. Yeah.
John agrees. He's like, yeah.
Well, they work together.
He works with me for like 10 hours a day in that studio.
Weird or a weirdo?
Weird. Not a weirdo. Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Just weird.
Well, I actually say to Hayden, my 12-year-old, all the time, I go, you never want to be normal. You always want to be a little bit weird.
I like that distinction, though. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, because a weird is like you're different and you're unique, which is a good thing. A weirdo is like somebody that all of a sudden is looking in your window at night.
Yeah.
You know?
Spend a lot of time in chat rooms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Right.
40, dark.
46 years old, still in the basement, mom's house, plays Super Mario Brothers every night. Has his girlfriends over. Now, I could really describe the weirdo.
I'm ready for yours. What's your word?
I would say it's a toss-up between...
You can't have more than one.
Oh, here we go.
You set the rules. You can't break them.
Motivated.
Motivated's good.
Yeah. I feel like I'm always like... I like to have a mental checklist, and I like to get done with my checklist every day. So I'm motivated to just like... Let me get through the day. Like when I wake up in the morning and I open my eyes when the alarm goes off at 3:40, the first thing I say to myself every day is, the sooner you get up, the sooner you'll finish. Yeah. Every single day.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. And what do I say? I come in here and I start doing work. I go, what's next? You know? So I'm motivated to like get through everything on the day.
You do that.
Yeah.
You can have motivated then.
All right. And what are you, Raven?
I'm going to go with resilient. Because every time you think I'm dead, every time you think I'm buried or gone, I come back.
Okay.
I come back like a fungus. Stronger than ever.
Okay.
Could have gone with Phoenix, went with fungus. That
was
good.
No. It's all right. It's all the same.
I like that you think of yourself as like a mushroom.
I can't be killed. I'll be here after the apocalypse.
Producer Sean went on a first date Sunday night with a woman that he had met online. And when he told me what he ordered, I stopped dead in my tracks and I go, that's it. Like, she's never going to go out with you again.
First date, you're expecting, you know, maybe a little bit of wining and dining or something like that. And I mean, I wouldn't really know. I've been married a long time at this point. But, you know, that's what I envision anyways. But, you know, this was off-putting when they went for coffee.
We're going to take five calls. Five calls says it all at 1-800-330-9999. If a guy ordered this on a first date, would you ever go out with him again? Producer Sean, what happened?
Drum roll, please. I ordered a decaf coffee.
No!
No. All right. But you're not telling the whole story like you told us. She had asked to go out for a drink.
Yes. All right. Well, she had mentioned we talked about getting together and going out. She asked if we, you know, wanted to go out maybe to like a bar or something. And I was like, well... I work very early. I'm up at 3 a.m., so going out at the time we were going to go out like around 5, I said, that's like a little late for me to start drinking, so maybe a coffee instead?
All right, Grandpa. You can't have one glass of wine or one cocktail at 5 o'clock on a Sunday?
I mean, clearly he's doing the responsible thing, but I guess maybe you need to be cooler when you're introducing yourself to somebody?
I can't just have one drink, though. Like, that's like impossible.
Well,
that's alarming.
That's a different conversation for another time.
Right.
When the microphones are not on, Sean.
So she agrees to go out for coffee then.
Yes.
And you go with decaf.
Yeah, I will say she did order the decaf. I didn't even know. I forgot decaf was a thing. I was going to get a tea, and then she ordered a coffee decaf, and I was like, oh my God.
Raven, what's weirder, if a guy orders a tea or a decaf coffee?
I can't win here.
You know I'm not allowed caffeine at this point. They told me that my heart would explode. So I have to do decaf, but I get you. It's off-putting. I mean, and if it was the first time we met, I'd be like, well, what is it with this dude? He won't have a drink. He won't have caffeine. He's clearly thinking he's better than me.
Barista, excuse me, I'll have a chamomile.
You'd be asleep halfway through that conversation.
Did she look at you weird when you ordered a decaf coffee?
No, not at all.
She was like, this is the safest, most boring man I've ever met in my entire life.
Has she been a trained actor?
You know what? I think she has.
She was definitely acting like she liked you.
Right.
She did mention she like took theater classes. So
Okay. 1-800-330-9999. Five calls says it all. If you went out on a first date and the guy ordered a decaf coffee or a tea, would you think that was weird? Five calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. Producer Sean went on a first date Sunday night. She asked to go for cocktails. He said coffee because it was a work night. And then he ordered decaf. If that was you, would you ever go out with him again? Because I think that is the biggest red flag. Who orders a decaf?
Well, he's a man of danger, clearly.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Five calls says it all. What do you think?
I think that it is totally normal. I think it's
cute.
Five calls says it all. Would you go out with a guy that ordered decaf or tea on a first date?
I think I definitely would because she also ordered decaf.
So if she didn't, would that have made a difference?
I don't think so. I think decaf coffee is totally fine.
Okay.
Especially if you have to get up very early.
And on Raven, Five Call says it all. Was Sean strange for ordering decaf?
No. No, I don't see anything odd about that.
Right, it seems odd to judge people on what they order, right? I mean, you wouldn't judge me if I ordered a triple tequila at 5 o'clock on a Sunday and told you I had to wake up at 3 a.m. Nobody would.
What if he ordered a large milk?
No.
Milk is weird. No, you're right. No, you're right. Never. I take my statement back completely.
Right.
You shut me down. If you ordered a large milk, I'd be like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And then you know they got milk mouth, so even if you have a good time on the date, you're not kissing them.
And on Raven, Five Calls says it all. Do you think it's weird to order a decaf on a first date?
Absolutely not. I think it's totally sweet. You know, he was honest. He set his boundaries, his non-negotiables. And I would be so much more interested in what did they get out of the date rather than what he ordered.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, you are very well spoken and put it like you should be his dating rep.
Yeah, exactly.
Like no question, man. Like you are awesome at that.
Listen, give me a call. I'm here for it.
Hi, Five Calls says it all. You're the final vote. Is it weird that Sean ordered decaf?
Totally weird. What's the point of drinking coffee if there's no caffeine in it?
Finally, somebody that agrees with me. Thank gosh for you, because I was like, am I in make-believe world here? All right, so at the end of the day, Five Calls says it all. Four people say it's okay. They would continue to see Sean. One person agreed with me that it's strange for a guy to order decaf on a first date. But let's check in with the girl Sean went out with. Victoria.
Yes.
Hi, it's Anna on Raven. Thank you so much for talking to us. We appreciate it.
No problem. Good morning.
Yeah,
good morning.
Get this. This could be a little bit off-putting. Like, you know, you go on one date. I mean, first dates are obviously awkward anyways, but then all of a sudden, like, coworkers are, like, calling you.
Yeah.
You're like, did he go to work and tell people we were going to get married? Or did he tell them, like, I'm a crazy person? Like, you have no idea.
Oh, I hope not the latter.
No. Yeah. No, we're concerned.
I wouldn't want either on my first date.
We're worried that you think that he's a crazy person, which might be true. Let's just keep it honest. When you met him, was it strange that he made you go for coffee instead of going to have a drink?
Actually, I found it kind of refreshing. Because I do, after being on the dating websites for a while, it's like, if someone's trying to get you to consume liquor on the first date, perhaps it's a bad sign.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Victoria, how many first dates have you been on where the dude's like half in the bag before the meal, before dessert's even offered?
I've had some weird ones, but never one where he showed up drunk. That would definitely be a bad sign.
I would agree with you
hey,
on that, Victoria. Yeah.
Are you her? Wow, you look like 80% like your profile picture. This is going to be awesome.
Victoria, what did you think about Sean? Did you like him?
I really did like him, yes.
Oh, my hey. God. Oh, my gosh.
He
that's awesome.
People.
What? Are you guys going to go out on a second date?
He did ask me if I would be interested in going out again this weekend, and I did say yes. Oh. So that's affirmative.
Oh, wow. Are you going to go for more decaf coffee?
I don't know. Maybe we'll even step it up to an adult beverage this time. You never know. We could get wild.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Kira and Sean. Kira, what's going on?
Hey there. My daughter is old enough to drive now, and we want to get her a car. But Sean wants to give her, we have this old, like, beat-up pickup in the garage. So he's like, oh, we should just give that to her, and then we don't have to, you know, get a new car. But I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't want her driving to school in that. I want something that's more safe with all the safety features, something that's been updated. And it doesn't have to be super expensive, but, you know, I want something that she'll enjoy driving and that I'll, you know, feel like she's safe in as well.
Sean, how old is this old beat-up pickup truck?
Oh, I mean, whatever. It's like 10 or 15 years old. I mean, we've had it forever, but that's just proof that it's safe. It works. There's no problems with it. You know what I mean? Like, there's no surprises. Plus, if anything happens, it's a big pickup truck. She'll be fine. And who cares if she gets it beat up? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's cheap and it's good. And it's reliable. It's safe. You know,
reliable's good. I mean, safe because it's just heavier than everything else around it. Also pretty good sometimes, right? And I mean, chances are you're probably going to get into an accident with your first or second car.
Mm.
On the other hand, you know, when it's your kid, you don't necessarily want him to be embarrassed. Is it ugly?
No, it's not ugly. No, it's great. It's clunky, everyone loves old
it
stuff.
Makes a lot of noise.
First time my dad let me take his pickup truck, I took out half the garage.
Nice.
After that, we went right down to the Ford dealership, got a little escort. That was the end of that. Well, let's see what our audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Sean. It's a big, sturdy, older pickup truck, and if she bangs it up, who cares? It's her first car. But they may see Kira's side, too. Maybe it's not safe, and it's too much for her to handle, and maybe having a safer, newer car is the route to go.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Sean and Kira's daughter is getting her license for the first time. She's very excited. Now, both mom and dad agree that, you know, she needs a car. They definitely, definitely need a car. Sean says, perfect. We've had this old beat-up pickup truck in the garage for years that we use for emergencies. She could have it. That's how she can learn to drive. Kira disagrees.
Well, it's registered. It's paid for. I understand why it makes sense for dad. But Kira thinks that she needs to get something a little bit more safer with updated technology. Doesn't have to be all that nice. Doesn't have to be all that expensive. She just feel better about it. She would like her daughter to actually like what she's driving to. Dad says, hey, you're going to get around. You'll like this truck just fine.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on the husband's side. I don't think it's that big of a deal. And if it's a bigger truck, I think that she should learn on something a little bigger anyways, because it just makes it better than when she gets to her own what she wants. Then, you know, she'll be able to handle it. So if you learn how to drive on a bigger car, it'll be easier.
Let her practice with the family RV. I hear what you're saying.
Thanks for the call. I like how everybody just keeps saying, let her hit things. Like, well, since when are we letting that happen? All right, 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Sean and Kira's daughter is getting her license for the very first time, and they both agreed that she does need a car to get around. Now, Sean says, well, yeah, we've got the pickup truck in the garage. It's been there forever. It's 10 to 15 years old. It's reliable. She hits things. Who cares? She'll be safe in it. Kira does not agree.
Well, Sean thinks that it's registered, it's paid for, it's here, it's already in the family, it's an easy choice for us to make here. And again, it's old, so who really cares while she figures out how to drive? But mom says, you know what, not only does she need to like the car, but I'd like something with updated safety features.
Right. Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court, it's Anna and Raven.
I'm on the husband's side. I'm 26, and when I was 16, my first vehicle was our yard pickup truck, because my father knew I would need to learn how to drive. You know, I would definitely dent it up. I need to learn how to drive a vehicle overall. And if you could learn to drive that thing, you could drive any car. And at the same time, you know, you felt safe in it.
Yeah, I think there's something to say about if you can handle a big, unruly, older vehicle, then definitely you're going to have probably a better skill set for driving. I drove my mom's Maxima station wagon for a couple months, borrowing that when I first got my license. Mm-hmm. I had a Camaro sitting in the driveway. They wouldn't let me take it. And you know what I did? I crashed my mom's car. So, you know, there you go.
Exactly. Yeah. We're young kids. Back in the day, we never had brand new cars to drive. Our parents could give us whatever they could afford. Normally, it was their old car, and they upgraded themselves.
Yeah. You're right.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
Hey, I think that all depends on the type of truck that it is. But I think a pickup truck would be a great first car. My first car was a Nissan Xterra, and it wasn't a pickup truck, but I mean, still SUV, and I think that dad's right.
That was a party on wheels.
I always wanted an Xterra.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted it so badly.
Had the bumper.
Oh, my God. It had the bumper step. It was bright yellow. My dad was like, I will always see you no matter where you are. I just thought in, like, places I shouldn't be because of it. Yeah. So, I mean... It was good on both ends.
It's easy to locate if you're in a ditch. Right. Thank you for the call. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. I think what they should do is take the pickup truck down to the dealership, trade it in, and get her daughter something nice, something smaller, something safer, something newer.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Sean, our audience agreed with you this morning. Kira, she's got to learn on something. It might as well be a beater that if something happens, it's all right.
Oh, my poor girl.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry.
Sean, you've got to be happy about this.
Yeah, I know. I'm thrilled. This is awesome. I mean, look, it makes a lot of sense. That's the thing. Like, she can get that car later in life, but this makes perfect sense for where she is right now. I'm thrilled. This is awesome.
She's not going to be thrilled.
I'm sure she's not.
Something to be said about those old cars, Anna. They're just made with, I think, stronger steel.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's what it is, stronger steel.
That's what my dad used to tell me.
Okay.
You might have been lying right to my face.
Yeah. You have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, it's Steve.
Steve, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
I sure will. Raven, could you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Steve.
All right, Steve, here's the thing. We've got $3,100 on the line. It is a lot of cash. How well do you know your pop culture trivia?
I'm pretty good.
All right.
You know, I've been calling for 31 days, so.
All right. Well, today's your lucky day. Let's go. I have five questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same five questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to go?
Ready to go.
Number one, Robert De Niro says he has taken every role offered to him and he has to keep working to support his ex-wife's spending habits. He won the 1981 Best Actor Oscar for his performance as Jake LaMotta in what movie?
Raging Bull.
Number two, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's 3-year-old daughter wanted to hang out with Aquaman for her birthday. The actor that plays Aquaman posted on The Rock's Instagram page wishing her a happy birthday. Who is that?
Jason Momoa.
Number three, WandaVision received the most nominations in the TV categories for the MTV Movie and TV Awards. Wanda Maximoff is also known as what witch?
I don't know. I'm going to say Glenda.
Number four, Vin Diesel will star in a movie version of Rock'em Sock'em. That's like based on the game. What colors were the two robots in that game?
Blue and red.
At number five, Rob Zombie is making a Munsters movie. It'll premiere in theaters and on Peacock at the same time. Where did the original Munsters live? Their street address?
1313 Mockingbird Lane.
Nice job. All right, Steve, let's see if it's enough.
Yo.
Steve got 4 out of 5.
Pretty impressive.
Yep.
$3,100, Steve. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Robert De Niro says he'll take every role offered to him, and he has to keep working to support his ex-wife's lavish lifestyle.
Yeah, I heard about that.
He won the 1981 Best Actor Oscar for his performance as Jake LaMotta in what movie?
That's Raging Bull.
Yes. Number two, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's 3-year-old daughter wanted to hang out with Aquaman for her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
The actor that plays Aquaman posted on The Rock's Instagram wishing her a happy birthday. Who is that?
Jason Momoa.
Yes.
The beautiful.
Very handsome. I like his muscles. Number three,
eyes.
WandaVision received the most nominations in the TV categories for the MTV Movie and TV Awards. Wanda Maximoff is also known as what witch?
She's the Scarlet Witch.
Yes. Number four, Vin Diesel will star in a movie version of Rock'em Sock'em game. What colors were the two robots in that game?
The red and blue.
Yes. Number five, Rob Zombie is making a Munsters movie. It'll premiere in theaters and on Peacock at the same time. Where did the original Munsters live? Their street address.
Oh, gosh. No, I don't know.
1313 Mockingbird Lane.
Yes, I kind of knew.
Steve, I wish you knew the Scarlet Witch. I really wish you do.
The Scarlet, I'll never live down that color.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, my friend.
We're going to hook you up with an Anna and Raven t-shirt, Steve. Thank you for trying.
Better luck next time, man.
Have
enjoy that
day.
Shirt, brother.
This is Steve, and I can't beat Raven.